Let's pray. Father, we're hungry and thirsty for you this morning. We become at peace. We focus our ears and our heart towards you. We yearn to hear what you have to say. We're not interested in casual conversation with you. We're interested in serious, life-changing, earth-moving conversation. That's what you're interested in. We are focusing into your interest and onto your interest. Let us hear and be changed today, and for that we'll ask you and thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we've got a heater unit that's not working in the back, so we're sweating up here trying to heat you in the back. You can lead mules to water, but you can't make them drink. The front is the only place anybody should ever sit. As close to the front as possible, because that's where the action is. Nobody needs to be on the back unless they're a watchman at the door. The only people need to be back. All righty. I want to speak to you about something that I touched on last week after Pastor Justice spoke. And that is, I'm going to give you my message title and we'll go from there. Can God's plan work without choosing God? Can God's plan in your life work without choosing God? Nobody answered. Y'all get afraid to answer, aren't you? I used to sit under a teacher that did that. Anytime he asked a question, never answer the question. Ever. Because you were going to be wrong. It didn't make any difference. You were going to be wrong. And sometimes I feel like I portray that also. Now, we had a quick and easy answer. Everybody in here had an answer in their mind. It came fast and it came easy. And it was probably correct. But the problem with getting correct answers is you have to put feet to them.
That's right.
Is that correct?
Yep.
All right, let's study and put some feet to these things. I'm going to read to you a very familiar verse of Scripture, Jeremiah 29:11 through 14. Do you know how we know who we are in Christ Jesus and the Father? By saying it. By saying it. By confessing. Without that, and that's why we read the Scripture. The Bible is really not a very thick book. If you really want to, you can read it pretty fast. That doesn't mean anything. Until you learn that you're an overcomer through the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, which the most important part of your testimony is the word of God.
Right.
If you say one thing about God or your life without basing it on Scripture, you've really wasted everybody's time. Doesn't mean that things can't apply to Scripture. I'm saying it must be based, foundationalized on Scripture. It's not good to say God is good unless you base it in Scripture. Even though it's true, it's not true to you until it has a foundation. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
Amen.
Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future."
Yeah.
Now we already know what God's plans are. Everybody in here know what God's plans are.
Yes, sir.
As soon as you read Scripture that tells you specifically what God's plans are, how His heart is, what we're supposed to do, then we're supposed to incorporate that into our lives, right?
Right.
All right, His plans are to prosper us and give us hope in the future. Then you will call upon me. That's the second point. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Third point, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So now we know that we're not going to get God's plans full in our life until it's with all of our heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And after... with all your heart you seek me, I will bring you back from whatever captivity you find yourself in. You know how to be in captivity? Be without God.
That's right.
You know how to get out of captivity? Be with God. Isn't that simple? All right. If we were all honest, this is what we'd hear. I know that this is true, but it doesn't seem to be working. You ever feel that way? Yeah, everybody. We're human, so everybody's going to feel that way. We don't say it out loud because somebody may look down on us, but that's sometimes the way we, hopefully, if we're honest, talk to God. Therefore, He can answer. So if I say that it must not be working, then there has to be a response. Here's the response. It must be faulty Scripture. Now, come on, we've got two choices. If the Word of God is not working, there are only two choices.
Right.
Faulty God or
faulty me.
Now, see, everybody runs for cover the minute Stan says that. But that's the actual only two choices in life. That's why it says, seek me with all your heart. Why would you seek a God if you have arrived? If you had all the answers and everything was working well, you don't need to seek God. Well, you really do, but you understand what I'm saying. That's the human feelings. Okay. Then let's do some study. Let's find out if it's a faulty procedure on my part. And please, there aren't any faulty humans. There's only humans with faults. Okay? God sees you as perfect. But in our spiritual lives, sometimes there's some lacking.
Yep.
So what we're doing is we're looking for lacking,
yeah.
Something we can change to make things work better. Now, I hope you listen to this differently than normal. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 and 16. In the New King James, it starts out like this. See! You know why it starts that way? See doesn't mean with your eyes, it means with your understanding. The eyes of your understanding. See! Or understand this, I have set before you this moment, not the day you got saved, not the day you got filled with the Holy Spirit, not the last time you received a miracle, this moment, this day, life and good. Now, wait a minute. Death and evil? Well, that's what it says. It says, I have set you before you today. God says, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. I didn't change it. That's exactly what it says. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Okay. It's exactly what we talked about this morning. I am not satisfied with the land I'm in. I want to go to the land I will possess. How do I get the right to possess a better land? Because there's a better promise than what I'm living in right now.
Yeah.
It's the same promise, but there's always that glory to glory movement that we have to go to.
Right.
It's a different land. Never be satisfied with the land you're in. Never. Life is over when you do that. Now, what God has said here, now we can debate this and I don't want to. Let me say it in a way that might be more palatable. Before you this day has been set life and good, death and evil.
That's right.
Is anybody in here not an everybody? Is not a you? Anybody here not a you? Because I have set before you this day. I don't want to get hung up on English words, but sometimes we pass over them too fast.
Yep.
I'm one of those you and so are you.
Yep.
So before me this day, before me, every moment of every day is set before me life and good, death and evil.
Right.
And a salvation message that says the day you got saved, your life changed is true, but it's not perceived correctly. Because before you were saved, it was set before you life and death, good and evil. Let's put it that way. It's easier for me to say. And after you were saved, the same thing is set before you.
That's right.
The one thing that is not taken away from you are choices. Okay?
Yep.
Same choices as before. Your decisions are supposed to be different. The choices are the same. Decisions are now different. I'm trying to get a foundation established here, okay? Why? Because you have a walk to walk. If you're born again, God the Father is your Father now. Then you're going to walk in His ways according to the Scripture. His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, that you may live. And if you don't, you will die.
Right.
Anytime the Scripture says so that you may live, there's another option. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Now, the reason I want to tell you that is everybody on the face of the earth, saint or sinner, is going to possess a land.
That's right. Amen.
They all are. Everybody that you know has a desire to go possess. Did you know that? I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
Saint and sinner alike all have something in them that makes them want to go and possess. And God lays before us choices, and if we make the right choices, we will possess His promise. If we don't, we'll just possess.
That's right.
We may not like what we possess, but we'll possess. All right, now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 17, the rest of that. Now here, Christian, listen to me. This is not to the sinner. This is to the saint. But if your heart turns away, now if salvation or being filled with the Holy Spirit changed that, that wouldn't be in there. But you still have a choice, right? If your heart turns away so that you do not hear. Now we have a stepping procedure here. First, your heart begins to look somewhere else. Then you lose your hearing and are drawn away. That's the third process. You're drawn away. To what? Worship other gods and serve them. Verse 18. I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. I didn't say this. God did. We need to get, when we look in the mirror, we need to say to ourselves, today, my job is to keep you from perishing. Then we can look at the sinner and say, today, my job is to keep you from perishing. If I'm not working on me, I'm wasting my time working on somebody else. Right. Right. I'm spitting into the wind. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. Now, if I could ever talk about once saved, always saved, I'd talk about in the Old Testament this scripture right here. If you don't keep your ear tuned, if you don't keep answering the right way, if you don't seek after God with all your heart, you shall not prolong your days in the land which you go over the Jordan to go in and possess. What does that mean? You may get there, but you ain't going to enjoy it. Now, how many of you have gotten to where you wanted to get and then found out it wasn't enjoyable when you got there? I got more money than I've ever had in my life. Oh, yeah, you enjoying it? I always wanted those pair of shoes. Oh, yeah, you enjoy them? Or are you just wanting the next pair? See, our joy has to be vested in the one that gives us the land to possess, not in the land.
Amen.
That's what this is saying. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. Now, this word against is not negative. It just means I'm holding up a standard. It'll be based on this standard. That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. That's a pretty good promise. Verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God. Why? That you may obey his voice. And that you may cling to him, for he is your life. He is the length of your days. That you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Give them. He's still giving, by the way. Now, one of the things, you know, everybody goes around and says, the Lord says to me, I heard the Lord say, blah, 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 blah. But if you get them in the corner and they're honest, those two things have to be in effect. There's many dishonest Christians. They say what they think they're supposed to say rather than search their heart and give the truth. I was speaking or teaching one time, and Dad came to me afterwards and he said, do you really hear God? And my heart was hurt. Not because he was distrusting me. That question was seated in honesty. That means he wasn't hearing. No. I mean, do you really hear an audible voice of God? Now you're trying to set a trap. Because the next question was, what does it sound like? Is it a bass, a tenor? What is it? You know, we're not going there. We're not going there. If I tell you that I heard God say, then you can bank on the fact that I heard God say.
Amen. Amen.
I can say the Scripture spoken to me, the Holy Spirit spoken to me. I can say a lot of different things. But I know when God speaks to me. Why? Because it makes sense.
Amen.
In all reality, it's about the only thing in this whole world that makes any sense.
Yep, that's right.
Is when the voice of God is heard. All right. Let me read verse 20 to you again. That you may love the Lord your God. This is why you are seeking him, obeying him. This is why he wants to give you life and that more abundantly.
Yes.
That you may love the Lord your God. That you may obey his voice. Now to obey his voice, you got to hear it.
That's right.
And that you may cling to him. Now let me tell you something. And this is, let me give you a little scary thing. I'm going to put it in your lap for a second. You don't always have to hear God to hear his voice. Now, point blank to you, he wouldn't have preachers if you always were needed to hear his voice directly. He has a voice in this earth. That's what the Bible says. Comes through different ways. It says that you are given these blessings. You're giving they're like special places on this earth. You're given this, that you'll love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice. Now, I've spoken to you. I'm going to give you a little couple examples. I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but I may anyway. You have to honor the voice of God if you recognize a man of God. And if you don't, you may learn that you need to. I heard on the radio this morning, they were giving crazy excuses why men would miss work. And one of the craziest ones was that God didn't wake me up this morning, so I didn't get up to come to work. I said, if I were God, I would take that man the next morning. I would throw him against the ceiling and let him hit the floor real hard and say, you have a choice. I will wake you up or your alarm clock will. You choose this day because I'll be here in the morning.
Amen.
That's why I'm not God, because there'd be a lot of dents in roofs and floors, so to speak. God just smiles when I have those feelings. He has them, but he don't work on them. He don't act on them. You know, a far back example was I felt like that I was speaking to Bob Romero in Cozumel that time when I said, turn the car in. Over and over I said that. He didn't listen and bad thing happened. He listened to other voices, which when God speaks, I don't care if it's your wife, your uncle, your aunt, your lover, I don't care who it is. You don't listen anymore. You listen only to the voice of God. Now he learns, I've learned more how to handle that, he's learned more how to handle that. And then I can think many times with you where you've called and you've asked my advice and you've listened and it's profited you. Not because I'm smart. Let me tell you something, nobody in here is smart. Sometimes we use wisdom by listening to God, but it's not based on our wisdom, I can tell you that, not at all. And last week, I believe it was, he was facing some problems with the IRS, and I said, this is what you need to do. A little later, he said, I know, but I need to know what to do. And I said, okay, this is what you do. 3 or 4 times you asked me that, and all the time you negated it because it didn't make sense with what he needed to hear. Patrick, I told you, don't let go of the job before you got the house, and you moved on it without it. Why did you ask me? See, here's my point being, this is human, and you begin to see the hair rise up on your neck a little bit. Do you know how God handles you? If you go direct to him, he's not going to give you an answer you wanted to hear. He's going to give you an answer that'll work.
That's right.
I promise you, God is silent with answers that you want to hear. He speaks to you in ways that raise the hair up on your head a little bit. Why? Because we're like arteries. We need to flex. If we don't expand and contract, we clog. Life goes away. I give you these promises so that you love the Lord your God and that you may obey his voice, number one, and that you may cling to him. You may cling to him. I want you to remember that phrase. Cling to him. Because before I get today, I'm going to make you think that it's like static electricity and a piece of lint. You can't let go, and that's the way our relationship has to be with God. I don't care how fast God moves or how much he shakes or stomps. We better be clinging to him. For he is your life. He is the length of your days. You want to dwell in that promised land? Then this is the way you do it. Okay? Now let's get moving. That's the start. It seems as if in the name of the Lord, we have allowed circumstances to guide our decisions. Instead of doing it God's way, which would be, our decisions create the circumstances.
Yes.
I'm not saying something lightly here. I'm trying to create in you a complete paradigm shift, a different way of looking and thinking about our lives. It may not sound like it, but you try practice and see. We are a nation that treats the terrorist like we did before 9/11. We react to an attack. When the Bible clearly, plainly states that we're the attacker.
That's right.
I'm tired of being a sissy Christian. I'm tired of being around mostly sissy Christians. I don't care how sweet you sound. I don't care how smooth you are. If you're not an attacker, you're not like Christ. That's on the tape. We react to an outside force instead of we being the force that the outside reacts to.
Amen.
Now let's meditate on what I just told you. Here is how our everyday, what the Scripture has just described to us, and how we're going to put feet on it and see how it affects our lives. I place before you today life and death, good and evil. Did God say that? Do you really believe that?
Yep.
Then every day you're going to face life and death, good and evil. Every moment of every day. Okay, so A, we have the offer. Both of those things are offered to us. How do they come? The number one way is circumstances.
Yep.
I'll give you an example, since I'm familiar with this example. Before the IRS letter came, you were so full of joy, peace, money, happy. Whoa. The letter comes, the depression comes. What changed? A report, an offer, or a threat, whatever you, however you want to say it. An offer came. That's all it was. It was an offer. Choose you this day, pre-IRS, post-IRS. Who do you think is the biggest, God or the IRS? Come on, I didn't hear. Huh? All right, if God is the biggest and the meanest and the most successful, then who do we need to choose? Look how simple that is. Choose you this moment, life or death, blessings or curses. Now, the reason we don't do that successfully is because we really don't believe that God has kicked everybody's bottom. If we really believe that, we wouldn't have even a second's hesitation to say, I don't choose this, I choose God.
Yeah.
Boom. Instead, we let our mouth shoot off and get in agreement with an enemy. The number one first offer is a circumstance. What do I do? See, if we were really good, clinging to God type Christians, we would not even think about it. All right, let me make this more simple. The Scripture says God sets before you life, death, blessings, curses. Right? Choose life. Choose blessings. Nowhere have you ever gotten an offer of life or death, blessings or curses. It's never come that way. It's always come, would you worry? Would you fret? Would you complain? Would you gripe? Would you get afraid? That's the offer that comes. You never, ever believe that God spends more time offering good than bad. Okay, this is where I want to make this simple so we don't get off track. An offer comes in the form of circumstances. You are not to choose the blessing. You are not to choose the curses. You are to choose God or the curses, Father Satan. That's where we're going to end up today, so I'm just giving you a little clue. We are not to choose riches, we're to choose God. We're not to choose healing, we're to choose God. We're not to choose whether I want to wear red or blue this morning, we're to choose God. All right, that's where I want to point out to you. That's the point I want to make to you today. So let's go look for it. Circumstances come. What circumstance? If you want to get up and testify to me this morning, what circumstance is bigger than God? I know you're afraid to answer because I'm going to make you eat it. Because I've seen how many times we have chosen the circumstance over God. I don't want to get individual about it, but I can. I can start with me and go to you. I know you want me to start with me and stay with me, but that's not what I do. Anytime you gripe, anytime you worry, anytime you fret, anytime you lose sleep, anytime you talk about anything but God, you've chosen another source.
That's right.
Boom. Can we make it that simple?
Mm-hmm.
Circumstance comes. What do I do? Do I bend the truth a little bit? Do I cover up? Oh, I'm going to cover it up because it's good for that person. In other words, do I lie? Do you know you can lie by being quiet? As long as you know that. Ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lie. It means I want to lie to you. That means I don't want to get in trouble by telling the truth. Jesus didn't do that for you. You don't do that for him. Do I steal? Or do I not be fair? Or do I treat others a little differently the way I want to be treated? Do I prefer? Do I prefer me over you? That's not choosing God. Do I get involved or do I just stay out so that things go smoother? These are circumstances. IRS letter comes, do I worry? Doctor's report comes, do I worry? Looks like I'm running out of money, do I worry? Circumstances that pop up in our face. What do I do when circumstances pop up? Second thing, emergencies. Here's where Christians really like to cop out. If they have an emergency, do I have a choice? Do you know most Christians don't believe they have a choice in an emergency? They think that who they call on is 911. That is antichrist because it says call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Doesn't ever say call on somebody else and you'll be saved. Emergencies. The other day I was loading up in Craig. I was loading this big heavy wall, heavy pipe. And I threw it up on the trailer and I don't know what it did. But it hit something and it bounced back and caught this finger between two pieces of pipe. One coming down and one setting still. Now, that didn't feel good. But I've never been one to curse and yell and scream. Most of the time I'm quieter when I'm hurting than when I'm not. That's something that I was trained and that's in me and that's just the way I am. That time I was down in that basement and shot that nail and it went through my finger, I got quiet. I didn't tell you guys. Because this was my battle. It's time for me to win it right now. I don't need to bring panic into a situation saying, oh my God, I got a nail in my finger. If I'm going to call on my God, I need to call at the moment. Yes. Before I shoot my mouth off and say something else. I hit my finger. I got real quiet because I knew that that was not a good thing. I pulled the glove off and it was not a good look. And when you take two sharp objects and you put them together on top of your little pinky, you need to be concerned. And my finger was black and I didn't know that I was going to keep my finger. What did I do? Because of what God has been dealing with me in the last number of month or two, I began to praise him. I'm not preaching about this. I'm not talking about it. I did it. I began to praise. I wasn't wanting to get in Christ Jesus. I instantly got in Christ Jesus because there's no smashed fingers in Christ Jesus. And I got in there and said, I will not, thank you, Lord, by your stripes and bruises. I'm not going to lose my finger. I'm not going to lay awake tonight having to drill a hole so the blood squirts out. I'm not going to lose the bone. I'm not going to do any of this that is prescribed by this circumstance. Amen. Remember what I said? You can change the circumstance with your decision. Just because you see an emergency, it does not take away your ability to change the circumstance. And I praised, and God did a miracle right at that moment. Had a little soreness for a while so that I'd remember not to do that again. God's a good teacher. He's not a soft-hearted teacher. He's a good teacher. I thank him for it. What happened when you got a broken ankle? Ankle, hello?
I started praising and I said something.
No, you went nuts. You had everybody in the world wondering what you were up to. Right? Good. Good. Go a little crazy for a minute. Be angry at the circumstance. Be so angry at the circumstance that you begin to command the circumstance. Amen. It's the only way you're going to get out of that thing you just got yourself into. How about a bad report? A bad report's an IRS, just bad as IRS. But don't get worried about it. God was God before IRS ever existed.
That's right. And
he'll be God after he defeats the IRS for you.
Amen.
If you'll trust him. If you'll praise him. If you'll shout. You'll say, I'm righteous before you. I'm in Christ Jesus. There is no IRS in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And if we could just get that down, there are no problems in Christ Jesus. That's why there's no sickness in there. I can say that openly because there are no problems in Christ Jesus. That's where I need to be hiding.
Yes.
All right, that's second. Third, there are shortfalls. Shortfalls. We are offered shortfalls. How many 10 million times have you been offered shortfalls? Not enough. Not enough. Not enough money, not enough time, not enough health, not enough strength, not enough tools. I'm not properly equipped. Bottom line, no way. How many times have you faced no way? I need to be there. Isn't that the promised land? And I'm here, and I can't, and to my, I cannot get to there. God, if you'd give me some more money, I'd buy a ticket. Give me some more tools, and I'll make a road. Now listen, I'm saying something clearly to you here. It is not up to you to make a way to the promised land. There's a vehicle that you can take to the promised land, but you can't buy it, and you can't make it. It's called God. Number four, abundance. Did you know abundance will keep you out of a promised land quicker than lack will? Because it makes you think you're something. Pride starts coming up. Because I'm a hard worker, because I'm a smart man, because even because I obey God. Are you bragging? Are you bragging on God? Until I hear you say God did this, I'd be lost without Him. I'm in Him, therefore that's why I am. Then you're just bragging on you. Abundance can drag you down. What do I do with more than I need? Here's the problem. If you don't believe this, your wife needs groceries, $100 worth. Give her $200 and see what happens. She'll spend the rest of the day trying to figure out spend the extra $100. Then you. You hear me? That's what we'll do. If we have, I could answer your question, you wouldn't like it. How many times have we had 10 times more than we've ever needed in our life? How many of us have been faced with that? Because the minute you're faced with that, then there's going to be temptations on how to misuse the 9 times more than you need.
Yes, that's right.
And most of the time we make fools of ourselves. Yeah. What can I spend it on? Are we calling on the name of the Lord when we say, what can I spend it on? If I need a new car, should I run out and buy a new car just because the money's there? Or should I call on my Lord? Should I be like that limp that's stuck with static electricity and I'm running to Him? Can you imagine if we would learn to not only run to Him in time of trouble, but we'd run to Him in time of abundance? I got this, God. You gave it to me. What in the world do I do with it? I'm just burning a hole in my pocket, which is what it's doing anyway. But we go to God and say, what do I do with it? You want me to spend it on what? You want me to give it to what? You want me to store it up? You don't want me to spend it? Number five. The biggest problem that we have is democracy. We think we have a choice. I'm promising you we do. But until we narrow it down to its life and death, blessings or curses, we haven't even figured out we have a choice. Circumstance does not create a choice. It creates the pressure to choose. Emergencies doesn't create a choice. It creates the pressure to choose. The force upon you to make a choice. Now, let's just say we, in this country, we have a choice. What do I do with the choice? Here are the choices. Do I buy or not buy? Do I move or not move? Do I spend or not spend? Do I listen or I not listen? Do I go, do I stay? Do I wear red or do I wear green? You know why I said that? Because that's how minuscule those little bitty things God wants us to take down to seek Him. Don't look at me like I'm being foolish. This is God talking to you. This is what the pressure God's putting on me. I don't want to hear nothing from you except, God, what should I do? Do I trust or I not trust? Here's the choice we have. Do I quote God or do I quote the threat, the circumstance, the emergency, the abundance? Which one do I do? You know the dumbest thing in the world? If I would have smashed my finger and grabbed it and said, oh, I smashed my finger. That's pretty stupid. I didn't need to know that. I already knew that. The air didn't need to know it because it don't care. You hearing me? Nobody was around, so they didn't need to know it. And if they had have, I wouldn't have said it anyway. They'd have just had to figure it out on their own because I am not going to quote the circumstance. You began to quote what God has spoken about this circumstance. You begin to quote what you believe based on the Word of God, and you change the circumstance. But don't quote the circumstance. You're no better than a news reporter, and they're looking for bad stuff. The Scripture says, but what do you say? Quit saying what you think is being said. What do you say about this? Who do you say that I am? Do you say that I'm a smashed finger? Or do you say that I'm the God over smashed fingers? Do you say that I'm the IRS, or do you say that I'm the God over IRS? That gives me goosebumps just to say that. I told you A was the offer. B is the decision. We're always given an offer, and we're always given that moment of decision. Can I give you a little secret? You don't have much time. You do not have time in a decision-making process. You know how I say that? How I know that? Because that scripture says, choose you this day. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That can also be on your decision processes. Amen. You don't have much time. I heard someone say, a Christian man say, you have less than 3 seconds to make the decision. I don't know where he came up with that. Who knows? It sounded like good preaching to got him on TV. What you've got is not very long. If you don't seek God with all of your heart, within, let's just say, 3 seconds, something's going to seek you. And mostly it's you. You can blame the devil all you want to, but you're the one that wants to always do something else. That's why we're told to seek God in all things. Call upon the name of the Lord so you can remain saved. Decision. Verse 16 says, "And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, keep His commandments, His statutes, that you may live and multiply. I command you today." Let me say it another way. There's not one day in your life that you're not going to have to make multiple decisions. Are you hearing me? Did you choose 2 minutes ago to call upon the name of the Lord, or out of the abundance of your wisdom make your own decision? What did we do? Decision. Number one, must be made now. I pull this out. You may think it's a stretch, but I don't think it's a stretch. I think God gave it to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52. Based on Deuteronomy, the scriptures we've already been reading, not talking about when Jesus is going to return. Let's talk about this moment right now. It says, but we all shall be changed. Verse 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Can I submit to you today that in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, is when God wants to change us and change the circumstances around us. Not when He returns, because that will be a final twinkling, a final change. I'm talking about this day. This day. The next time you smash your finger, so to speak, are you going to speak the curse? Are you going to speak the answer? You got to do it. You don't. When your finger's hurting and you're dancing, change the dance into praise. Watch the pain go away. Yeah. You want God to heal? Put Him in the situation. He's not an extended God. He doesn't heal from 1,000 miles off.
That's right.
He heals when you bring Him in the picture. Yes. Oh God, You are my God. What does that say? That takes away the smashed finger being the God. God wants so much for us to take away from the emergency and from the offers, or any other offer there is, and make Him the only offer. The decision, bringing God into the picture, let me say it better yet, God being the picture, must be made now. Number two, our decision will create our circumstance. Now that's good and bad. You give honor to anything but God, you're not going to like the circumstance you end up in. Number three, our choice will determine victory or destruction. Life or death, blessing or curses. That's what it says, right? Our decision will determine whether we're victorious or we walk in destruction. Were we looking into the promised land, or we're walking in the promised land. Number four, the most important one. Choose God and your decision will be correct. Did you hear me?
Yes.
See, here's where I want this to get real simple. Every one of you are still thinking wrong. I can just feel it. Your decisions cannot be based on your wisdom, your experience, your understanding, or your vast knowledge in this area. Your decision must be God based on your love.
Yes.
What's your answer? God. What's your decision? God. What's the outcome? God. Unless you become as little children, you'll never understand this. If we could just learn one word in our life and it be God, we'd be successful. In fact, we'd probably be more successful. Why? Because he's already gone before us. The scripture says he goes before us. So he knew what was coming. And he's already prepared the answer. He guides and directs our paths and our steps. If we say, God. Not, oh my God, but God.
Amen.
Jesus taught us by choosing the Father. And we're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. Therefore, what are we doing? Choosing the Father. You ain't going to be in Christ Jesus if your every move is not choosing the Father. His ways are not our ways. What does that mean? I give up mine for His.
Yes.
His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. The only way that can be is I give them up for His. He wants to do something far beyond anything that I've ever thought or asked.
That's right.
We can't ask right and we can't think right. We don't need to. We just say God. God, you are my God. We've named him and we claimed him. Therefore, no weapon formed against me can prosper.
Amen.
Number five. Here's what wrong choice is. Guaranteed, a wrong choice is to open your mouth without choosing God first. Stop. Breathe. Think. Then act. Don't open that mouth first. I don't care how much it hurts. I don't care how much I'm afraid. And we will hurt, and we will be afraid. I'm not negating that. I'm telling you that the choices are there. Open your mouth and say, God, I choose you. Not this circumstance, not this emergency, not this threat. If we open our mouth without choosing God first, we have failed. Another wrong choice. Number six, depending on our resource to decide. Everybody in here has been taught that you research and you think and you look and then you make a decision. It's not our way. We can't make a choice on what we see. We can't make a choice on what we know or what we can do. We can't make a choice on past experiences. And we can't make a choice on how much we've researched. Don't tell me about your experiences. Tell me, did you seek God first? I don't even want to know where you've been or what you've done. I don't care about that. Tell me, did you seek God first? Then we can listen to the rest of that, and it may make a difference. Listen to this carefully. Our failure is that we think the outcome is based on our ability to make good decisions. It is not. Our future, our outcome, our salvation, our healing, our finances are not based on our ability to make good decisions. It's based on the good decision. Our success is based on instantly choosing a good God over every situation. I'm telling you something. This is a really, really simple, so simple that we're going to miss it if you can. I mean, if you try, you're going to miss it, but it's going to change everything you do if you listen to me. It's too simple. All right, Stan, I got a couple of questions. In 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, be prepared and be quick in season and out of season. And then there's this other scripture in Proverbs 6, 10, and 11. It says a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come in like a bandit. How do I balance this? You don't balance it. It's truth. You don't balance truth. You eat it. You accept it. You take it in like sweet water. A balanced approach is obedience. Be prepared to choose Jesus in every decision. Never rest in choosing Jesus. Don't be slow. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands will bring you to poverty. Then don't fool around choosing Jesus. Be instant, in season and out of season, where it's a choice or an emergency. In what? God. I choose you. I see that, but I choose you. I hear that, but I choose you. I feel that, but I choose you. I don't know why this gets hard, but we've made it hard. Less words mean more success. Sometimes I wish I had a button I could turn off to make it where I wouldn't talk at all. Less words mean more success. Proverbs 29:20 says, "Do you see a man hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than him." It doesn't say a hasty man. It says hasty in his words. See, I want to be a hasty man to choose God. But you know, in my God choosing, it won't very often be out loud. You'll never hear me yell and scream, "I choose God, I choose God." I'm doing it down here where the battle's taking place. Ecclesiastes 10:14 says, "A fool also multiplies words." If I walk to you right now and I say, "What's your choice?" and you make it 20 words, I go to the next, see if I can find a wise man. What's your choice today?
God.
That's what I mean. Unless you become as a little child. Our life needs to be simplified. It's gotten too complicated. Dad used to say, "I can take a lightning bug on the end of a stick and run you out of the country." What does that mean? It don't take nothing to get you scared. When a man can say God, he's not scared. Not, "Oh my God," but God. Makes you wonder. Women. Donna told me that there was a study that shows that the average woman speaks 25,000 words a day and the average man speaks 5,000. Which is the most foolish? And I'm not mocking. I'm telling you a statistical fact that you have the ability to change. And by the way, 5,000 words is way too much for men. That can change also. Speak softly. Carry a big God.
Amen.
A great part of keeping quiet long enough is to choose God. If your mouth flies off the handle, you can't choose God. If a person speaks God's words, listen to me. I don't care how many words you speak, if they're God's words, they're not yours. So it can't be counted against you. I'm going to say that again. If statistic is true, 25,000 or 5,000, if they're God's words, they're not yours and you can't be called a fool.
Amen.
If words make you a fool, then make sure they're not yours.
Amen.
And you can never be a fool. Oh, I'm doing good. Now let's take a moment to read Deuteronomy 28. You know this, but I can't get tired of reading this. I need the encouragement. I need to know God's will. God speaks of His will in Jeremiah. He tells me His will specifically in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28, chapter 28, verse 1. Now I want you to listen to how God speaks. Listen to me. Look at me. I want you to listen to how God speaks. And then you become a man that speaks that way. That's why we listen to how God speaks, so we can become a man and woman that speaks that way. Number one, "Now it shall come to pass." When's the last time you looked at somebody with a gleam in your eye and you say, "Now it shall come to pass"? If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. It didn't say, if you're perfect. If everybody thinks you're perfect. It didn't say that.
That's right.
Who knows if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God?
God.
And you. Don't forget, you are supposed to know. The world is to tell you that you can't obey God, you don't obey God, you low down piece of crud. That's what the world, and half the time the church, tries to tell you. But that's not what God tells you. Your relationship between you and God will tell you where you're diligent and listen to obey the word of the Lord your God. And by the way, to obey, you must choose and hear. "To observe carefully all of His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you." Who's going to set you on high?
God.
Then who should you be calling on?
The Lord your God.
If I want to be set on high, if I want wealth, if I want blessings, if I want healing, I can't depend on my pretty prayers, my boldly going into the throne. I can't depend on any of that. I must depend on the Lord my God. So who should I call on? The Lord my God.
Right.
He'll set you high above all nations of the earth because you chose Him. Verse 2, "And all these blessings," how many of them? But Bill, you really don't have the right to all of them.
According to this, I do.
Well, then you're going to have to choose who you're going to believe,
that's
me
right.
or that.
That's right.
How many times has the church told you you weren't worthy of all of those blessings?
Too many to count.
Now you got to choose where to believe, him or that.
That's right.
So when you're in trouble, who you want to call on, the church or God?
God.
Nothing wrong with calling on the church, but first call on God.
Yeah.
"All of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." So if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, what's going to happen? That was way too timid.
All the blessings.
All the blessings will come upon you. Don't leave out the promise for the command. The command brings promise. Amen. Obedience to the command brings you promise. Have you been obedient? If you have, then you deserve the promise. Amen. And don't let anybody tell you different. Amen. I don't want to hear about clogged arteries. I don't want to hear about past, present, and future. I don't want to hear about bloodlines. I don't want to hear about what I used to do because it's no longer written. If I just obeyed the voice of the Lord by calling on Him, all the promises come to me. Amen. Stan, do you hear that? Here are the promises. Here are the blessings. Number 3, verse 3. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Where else is there? You know where else there is? The place you went to instead of God. And it's your choice. Don't go there, and God won't even talk about it. He doesn't even mention it here. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. So I can't get into a curse if I move to the country, and I can't get into a curse if I move to the city, right? So I can't make a mistake there. All right. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flock. All right. If you're obeying God, can you be cursed in your business and your family?
Nope.
So if there's any problems there, it's because you're probably not saying God first. You may be saying God something else first. Maybe that's why you're cursed. Maybe you're saying, oh my God, that's why you're cursed. You call upon God and He answers. That's what the Scripture says. Amen. Blessed shall you be in your basket and your kneading bowl. That's why so many of us have large baskets. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out.
Right.
All I can think of is, what else is there than in and out? Verse 7. Now listen, I like this because it takes the weight off of our shoulders. Anybody in here have an enemy right at the moment? Everybody in here has got an enemy, I promise you, at this moment. The Lord will cause... Not how well you pray, not how well you speak, not how eloquent you are, not how well dressed you are, not how much money you have in the bank or don't have in the bank. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face.
Amen.
Not after you're dead. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways because I'm so powerful. No. Because I called on the power. I didn't speak of anything else. I refused to speak of the enemy.
Amen.
I only spoke of my God. Only speak of your God and there is no enemy. That's what this says.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 8, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and into all to which you set your hand, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you, not has given you, is giving you. Well, why don't you just give it to me, God? Because you don't call on me enough. Let me command the blessings on you. You quit trying to command. The church, turn on the television, and it'll say if you say enough words about blessings, you'll be blessed. They lie. It never says that. It says, oh, listen to God, which the only way to listen is to call. You understand that? Pick up the phone. If you don't call, there'll be nobody on the other end. That's simple enough, isn't it? Diligently listen and obey, and all of these things will take place. Diligently call. What is my decision today? God. My decision is God. It is not my hurt finger. It's not my hurt pocketbook. It's not my hurt anything. My decision is God. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself. If you keep the commandments and walk in His ways, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Ah, now we're where I like to be. I told you that guy, when I used to be big, that guy walked up the church sidewalk and I was walking out. And he went off, stepped on the grass, and I looked at him. He said, if I were your size, I'd charge somebody a quarter just to walk by me. And that was funny. Ha, ha, ha. That's exactly what that scripture just said. They will recognize you and be afraid of you. Why? Because they're not looking at you. They're looking at the name that you always call on. The name you trust in. Yeah. And the world. Listen to me. Don't smile at me and say that's a good thought. That's the way it is. When are you going to start walking like people are afraid of you? I'm not the pursued. I'm the pursuer. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. The fruit of your body, the increase of your livestock, the produce of your ground, the land which the Lord swore to you. Verse 12, the Lord will open to you his good treasure. Oh, my word. How rich do you think God is? God is so rich that if he opens up his treasure, the excess that falls out will kill you if you're in the wrong place. If you're in the right place, he just gives you that good fortune. How much do you have? God, don't tell me what you have. All I want to hear is if I ask you how healthy you are, God. How rich you are, God. How smart are you, God. How strong are you, God. How successful are you, God. This is the Theology 501. It's complicated and simple, right? Open to you his good treasures, the heavens, to give you rain on your land and season. In its season, to bless all the work of your hand. You'll lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Are you a borrower? God. Are you a lender? God. Why are you saying that, Stan? Because I'm not smart enough to be either one. But I know who is. There's my answer. God. How much can you loan me? God. How much can you give me? God. What do you want? God. I just wonder how powerful and rich we really would be if that was our answer to everything. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You won't do that. Your position won't do that. Your finances won't do that. Your health won't do that. Your testimony won't do that. Your prayers won't do that. God will do that. So who should you call on?
God.
And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only. You want to be above only? What's the cry?
God.
And not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day. Don't turn aside from the commands. Don't turn aside from the promises. You have just as much right in the command of the promise as you do the command. Let me say that another way. If you believe that commands are a necessity in your life, then you must believe the promises are a necessity in your life.
Amen.
If you have the right to pull out of the Word of God commands of obedience, I obey these commands, then you obey the prosperity. Don't negate it. Don't deny it. Don't make excuses for living where we are. Let's just keep calling on God until He takes us to where He wants us to be. We all have been trained by our parents or by this society or by this world or by experiences. We need to be retrained. We try to make 2 plus 2 equals 4 and God makes it 5 every time, Harry. Why? So then He'll break our reasoning so we will depend on His. They'll say on television, we're inevitable to have the bird flu. But you as Christians won't say it's inevitable that I'm blessed. And God's word is much more sound and reasonable than some bird brain over in another country. His promises are stronger than the flu season. His promises are stronger than recession or depression. He is. Not His word, He is. We just quote His word. Success in all is this. Number one, it is not in making an educated decision based on my wisdom and good info. Number two, it is based on choosing the correct vehicle to get me to success. If I depend on my reason and my knowledge, that's as high as it's going to take me.
Right.
Our belief is a good decision is a good vehicle.
Yeah.
It isn't. God is a good vehicle.
That's right.
And that's the only decision that I make. Do not allow circumstances to determine your decision. Do not. I feel like I need to call every one of your names this morning. Do not expect a blessing on your position. Do not expect a blessing on your hard work position, or your wisdom decision, or your education decision, or your faith decision. How strong is your faith? I don't know. How often do you call on God? How often do you speak the word instead of what you want to speak? How much word do you know? I mean, if you don't read the word, if you don't study the word, that's where God's at, by the way. God is not separated from his word. You will not be able to defend. You will not be able to stand. It's not enough just to say God. It is. But you got to know why you're doing that. We're studying the promises today so that you'll understand why you call on God. If you just, if somebody goes out here and just says, starts saying God without a basis, without a foundation, he has nothing to stand on.
That's right.
God will lead him to word. If he's so uneducated, so he has not been subjected to word, then when he starts calling on the name of the Lord, he will be introduced into the word. It's the way it is. Do not allow circumstances to determine your decision. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. I set before you today blessings. Blessing is a person, God. Choose you this day life. Life is a person, God.
Amen.
Today, you'll have two choices. They're all the same. Life, death, blessing, cursing is two choices, life and death. If we could just simplify today's walk, tomorrow's walk, the next day's walk, to where every decision we made, Chuck, was a life and death decision. Everyone. Even who you were, wearing a red shirt or a blue shirt. Why? Because we don't know who it's going to affect today. We haven't been there. God's been there. He's already been ahead of us and for us, before us. And he's already set our steps out. All we've got to do is, oh, that step's marked God. That step's marked God. That step's marked God. And we'll do exactly what we're supposed to do, and we'll make the world's best decisions. Well, I don't know what to do. Well, stop trying. Don't try to be the vehicle for success. Get on the vehicle of success.
Amen.
Your decision will form your circumstance.
Amen.
Now, have I spoken truth today?
Yes.
Then I'm one of the vehicles that's been set before you to give you a choice to make. What I've talked about, the truth of your life, or you negate it and say, that was a nice word. That was a good word. You need to admit and say, this has shaken me to my core, God. From now on, I'm going to make a conscious effort, God. And where it's a broken ankle, a smashed finger, the IRS, or any other threat that comes on you, or any other thing in the world, forget about the threat. Anything that comes upon you, if it's a $350 million Powerball ticket, you better yell God loud. Because the enemy's coming after you more than he's coming after the broke. Come on. That's great, though. Don't tell me it's God. I'll bet you Harry said it was good medicine. Oatmeal. Hey, listen. That's so simple. But see, I tried to take Harry's truth and make it my truth, and it liked to kill me. And I'm not trying to... I'm not mocking oatmeal. Oatmeal tastes good. But his truth can't be my truth, and my truth can't be his. And the only way we're going to know the difference is God.
Amen.
Amen? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm telling you, and it says in that, so that your descendants, those people after you can live. You'll live so they can live. But he's... See, he's already looking, so he doesn't trust what he believes. And that's the cool part. I'll tell you this. We don't have to be good ministers. We just have to be good ministers to God.
Yeah.
Then he'll use us. That's what the Bible says. They'll make you fear. The world will fear you. Well, we don't really want people to be afraid of us. We want them to be afraid of where they are and that they might not be like we are. Now, don't get egotistical, but that's what they need to see.
Yeah.
You know, that young man trying to sell me a bunch of stuff. That one time he came, he said, after the whole thing was over, he said, I need to talk to you for a minute. You seem like a guy with a level head. Could you tell me what the secret of life is? The secret of life? Yeah, God. God. And he looked at me kind of funny, and I said, sleeping real good at night.
Yeah.
Then he looked at me more fun. I said, if you can go to sleep, you didn't cheat anybody, you didn't lie to anybody, nobody's coming after you, and you're not going after nobody. You sleep good. That's the secret of life. Now, come on. Then take a sleeping pill. I didn't tell him about no pill. He knew I wasn't talking about a pill. What's your answer? Somebody asks you a question, poses a situation, poses an emergency in front of you. What is your answer? Quietly, your first thing that should come out of the mouth of your heart is God. Bill asked me a question about his children one time. I had no experience in it. And so he didn't know I did that, but I got quiet in my spirit and said, God, I don't have the answer. You need to give me one. Nehemiah, when the king said, what is it that you need? God, he said, God. What he said was, I got to go over here for a minute. And he asked God what he needed. So his first cry was God.
Yep.
And when he came back with the answer, it was far beyond anything he ever thought or asked.
Amen.
If somebody asks you today, tomorrow, tonight, you ask yourself, what blessings do I want? You open up Deuteronomy 28 and say, every one of these.
Amen.
Why? Because you're greedy? No, because God has commanded those on you. You have no right to refuse them. But you have every right to claim them. That makes sense? Circumstances, whatever you see, whatever you feel, whatever you think, they don't determine your future. Your decision determines your future. Amen? All
right,
y'all stand with me. I've never done six pages that quick before. I walk in blessing.
Yes. Amen.
So do you.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. The Bible says you need to meditate on these things.
Yes.
It's a command to you to meditate on what we've talked about this morning. I believe God has given that to you as a command, as a suggestion. You take it however you want, but it's an offer of total blessing in your life.
Yes.
Whether you get the CD or the tape, listen to it over and over, or have just ask God and let him repeat it the way he needs to you, I don't care how you do it, but meditate on these things. And then after meditation, put some feet on that meditation.
Amen.
You start practicing quieting yourself and loosing the word of God in you. You want to get mad at your wife? God! Wife mad at you? God! IRS knocking on your door? God! Smash finger? God! And I promise you, you keep bringing him in the picture and the wisdom of God will fall on you.
Yes, that's right.
The knowledge of God will fall on you. The blessings of God will fall on you. Now, I am extremely blessed. Are you?
Yes.
Are you going to judge by whatever you think or you
no.
see or feel?
No.
Make your decision to be blessed. Drive out any lack, want, or need.
Amen.
Watch the peace that passes all understanding come upon you. Hallelujah. All hearts clear?
Yes.
I hope not. I hope they're heavy. I hope they're heavy enough to let you still stay in that state of meditation for days. I pray that the word that you hear this morning will calm your voice and calm your anger and calm your worry and your fear. Will calm the storms. Will calm voices. And that your response in every situation, and I mean, is this the right color socks? Let it be God. When you choose God, you've made the correct decision for all aspects of your life. Your children's life, your future, your inheritance to them. God is a complete God. He doesn't want to touch a piece of your life. He wants to not touch past, present, and future.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. We yield to your word. We yield to your voice. We make our tongue speak your word. That is our decision. Now our circumstances will be formed by you. And we will offer up praise and thanksgiving and honor and glory to the only true God. Praise you, Lord. We receive it now. We walk in it. We're blessed by it. We're not ashamed. We're not timid. We're children of a living God. In Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't forget the little get-together out back.